Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Big news from the Supreme Court. We're going to talk about raisins and farmers. Yeah, you bet. I bet you thought it was going to be about Obamacare. Not so fast. King versus Burwell probably coming next, but hasn't happened just yet. Also, the Supreme Court expected to rule within days on the Texas abortion law. So a whole bunch of rulings or decisions, is the better way to put that, are coming down the pike as the end of the term is approaching. And that's where we are. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So where are we starting? We're starting with the Supreme Court, in fact, and the sense of the end is near. So we're going to find out a couple of pretty big decisions. This is one of them. The High Court ruled that the federal raisin grab is unconstitutional. So you say, what does that mean? Raisins are wrong, is what I heard today. The court said that the government can't force the farmers to give up their crop for less than it's worth. Woohoo! I mean, that is the right decision. Come on. They ruled 8-1, this was a layup, that a program that was started out of the Depression is unconstitutional because it allows the feds to get personal property from the farmers without compensating them. I mean, isn't the goal to stabilize market prices? Yes, but to grab people's land? No. So the court actually sided with the California farmers. It was two farmers, a family, Marvin and Laura Horn, who claimed they were losing money under a program that they said was outdated and ineffective. They'd been fined, check this out, almost $700,000 for trying to get around it. So John Roberts, the Chief Justice, said the government must pay just compensated when it takes personal goods, just as when it takes away land. And he rejected the argument that the Horns voluntarily chose to participate in the raisin market and have the option of growing different crops if they don't like it. That's nice. So you don't like it, too bad. Grow some cauliflower. Give me a break. You know, it's not much comfort to the people that are being manipulated. And so this was the right ruling. And it's funny because there wasn't a lot of discussion about this. And I think it's because of the other big decisions that are happening soon. The case was really considered, to anyone who knows anything about land grabs, one of the most important property disputes that hit the Supreme Court since probably 15 years ago, when the justices ruled that New London, Connecticut could use the power, remember this, of eminent domain to hand private homes or businesses to developers to stimulate the economy. And there was massive backlash to that. There were 40 state legislatures that decided, hey, we're going to pass laws protecting property rights. We saw what happened with that nonsense of eminent domain, and we're going to protect our people. So this is interesting because this is the reverse of that. This is a huge win for anybody who's about property rights, anybody who thinks we need to limit government grabs. This is beautiful. I mean, this is the way they should have gone. And 8-1, that, like I said, that tells you something, that it's 8-1, right? Totally makes sense. And what they did was, to explain it to you a little bit more, because somebody said to me, oh, I don't get it. What does that mean? Well, what it means is that this couple refused to participate in this raisin program in 2003 when farmers had to give up 47% of their crop, but got less in return than the cost of production. They also wouldn't cooperate in 2004. Farmers gave up 30% of the crop and were paid nothing. So this is a personal vindication that goes beyond this couple. I mean, recently, raisin prices have been kind of stable, and the farmers haven't been ordered to put crops in reserve since 2010. But, you know, listen, it's huge. There's only a small number of crops that are regulated like that. And that's dried prunes, dates, almonds. We see what it costs for almonds. Almonds, cherries, walnuts, spearmint oil, which is actually pretty popular right now. So how about that? I love it. You know, even a little joke was made. Justice Clarence Thomas, right? He said sending the case back to figure out compensation in this case would be a fruitless exercise. So there you go. Because Justice Breyer said that the Horns were entitled to be paid for their crops, but that the case should be sent back to a lower court to decide whether they would have been owed any money had they complied with the program. So there you go. The only dissenting vote, Sonia Sotomayor, saying it didn't deprive them of property rights, it just limited the income they could earn from it. But this is big. It's big because of the reasons I just said. Eminent domain was a lousy beat in that case. And coming, the Supreme Court coming around here is a win for property rights. I mean, people try so hard to hang on to property, often through all kinds of things. And so I say bravo to this. I don't think you're going to find many people that are going to say, oh, no, that's not right. It's absolutely right. Absolutely right. And a sad story to tell you quickly here at the top. You know, you remember when I took that trip to Ireland and saw where the Titanic was launched and that whole thing about the, also what happened when once the Titanic took off and the Irish connection to it. So I think since that trip, I've kind of been fascinated with things related to the Titanic. And sadly, the Oscar winning film composer, James Horner, who actually had been involved in lots of pieces of music, was in a single engine plane and he crashed in Southern California. The plane was one of several that he owned, and it was his plane, and they found his plane in California in the desert. It had crashed in the morning on Monday, 9:30 in the morning. Brutal. I mean, this guy was tops. He was nominated for 10 Academy Awards. He won 2 for Titanic in 1997. He composed the film score and the theme, My Heart Will Go On, you know, Celine Dion. That was obviously one of the big songs, but he did tons of them. If you think of some of the movies, I'll just tell you some of the movies, because I look at this kind of stuff. He did Alien, he did Apollo 13, he did Field of Dreams, he did Braveheart. Remember the music from Braveheart? He did A Beautiful Mind, he did Avatar, and the original song Somewhere Out There from An American Tale. So a whole bunch. I mean, and there's even many more than that. But again, he was a guy who had several planes, and who knows the exact reason why the plane went down. But how sad is that? You know, he just crashed a remote site about 100 miles northwest of Los Angeles, and then word started to leak out that it was James Horner. At first, no names, and then finally they went to the names, and immediately, because I've seen his name so much, I recognized it, and this, wow, you know, these small plane crashes, and so you wonder what it is, and of course they'll investigate that and then have whatever reason they can come up with for why that plane went down. Coming up next, our pal Dan Perkins on the Middle East. He's not shy about sharing his opinions, and you're going to love him if you haven't heard him before on this show. He's a frequent guest. He's up on the flip side on ATN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Results will vary from case to case.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment to moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Tonight, thanks for hanging with us. We're still talking about Charleston and what happened and what the deal is with Dylann Roof. Some people are avoiding the conversation. That's some of the rhetoric we're reading about. And there's now this bizarre fight over the sort of the whole label issue. Can anyone be completely sure? Of course we can't be completely sure. But it is an interesting conversation, an important one to have, and we're having it here on ATN. So who better to have back on the show? He's in our virtual green room than Dan Perkins. He's a columnist for TheHill.com, and he's the author of the Brotherhood of the Red Nile trilogy. And it centers around, we've talked to him about this, Islamic nuclear terrorism against the U.S. He certainly is a nationally recognized expert, I love to say that, on radical Islam. And again, not shy about sharing and serving up his opinions. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me on, Kate. It's been a while.
It has been a while, we'll correct that. We love having you on the show. So let's talk about Dylann Roof and what the deal is with Roof. Let's just get your impression. When you heard about what happened and you saw all the back and forth of people trying to figure out what is this? Is he a racist? Oh my gosh, the Confederate flag and everything, guns, gun control, everything gets thrown into this before we've even sorted it out. What did you think when you heard about some of the real details of what happened?
I basically believed, and I wrote it as an op-ed piece, on this, that there's only one way to classify this young man. And that if you go to the dictionary and look at the definition of who a terrorist is, a terrorist is a person or a group of organizations that use intimidation and coercion to enforce their political beliefs and philosophy. This man said very clearly that he wanted to start, in essence, a race riot. This was a terrorist. And while it's certainly clear he may have had some mental issues, his approach was clearly that of a terrorist. I think in further reaction to what you're asking about is how, I wish I could come up with a better word, Kate, but how convoluted the mm-hmm. media has taken this situation
yes.
and thrown in a bunch of junk that has nothing to do with it.
Yes.
I thought it was absolutely, you know, I've been on your show enough, you understand that I'm not very politically correct and I don't want to be politically correct. I thought it was
right.
absolutely atrocious what came out of the mouth of the President of the United States. This man either does not have any kind of a memory when he basically called America, these are my words, not his words, but it's not hard to understand where I'm coming from if you go back and listen to his words. He said that this was unique to America and that he doesn't understand why it only happens here. And I was absolutely outraged that it reminded me of Fort Hood, workplace violence as opposed to a terrorist attack. This particular man may not have necessarily belonged to any ISIS or Al-Qaeda group, but what he did was clearly a classic attack in a terrorist mode. And the president seems to have forgotten about all the reporters who were unarmed, who were killed in Paris, in Charlie Hebdo, and a few days later, all the Jewish people who were shot down unarmed in a market because they were Jewish, or the soldier that was killed in Canada, or the people in Australia, and or, yet the president seemed to be able to say to the United States that it's a shortcoming only here. It doesn't happen anywhere else in the world. He didn't mention, in fact, he's never mentioned the massacre. We had 9 Christians killed in the United States by a terrorist.
Yeah.
And a terrible loss. But we've had tens of thousands of Christians murdered in the Middle East. And he hasn't said a word. This man came from Chicago, and in his term as president, this year alone, from January 1st to the end of May, 968 shootings took place in Chicago. Never said a word. So for him to come out and talk about this as a uniquely American experience, and nobody else that I can tell so far other than myself has stepped up to criticize the president that he was inappropriate in his characterization of what took place in Charleston. What I did find and was thrilled with, Mr. Sharpton was not invited to come to Charleston. They couldn't turn this like they did
yeah.
in Ferguson and they did in Baltimore. And so they didn't really want him there. And I just thought that the president acted in just a terrible way for him to condemn America, that this was a uniquely American experience when innocent people are being murdered all over the country. Now, you want to talk about the flag for a second?
Yes, because now, you know, Nikki Haley has said, let's remove the flag. She's just come in and said that where
right.
before
and
she
the,
was
and
saying.
The two state senators and all
yeah.
the congressmen in the state of South Carolina support that situation.
Yeah.
That's a decision that's being, first of all, is being made, in my opinion, based on the emotion of the moment, not the reality. Now, what nobody's saying in the media that Fritz Holling, a Democrat, was the one who was responsible for putting the flag there in the first place. But
yeah, you're right. We talked about that last night. You're right. Yes.
So, but let me take it one step further. I listened to commentators today talk about the representation of the flag and how it is abhorrent to black people because it is a representation of slavery. Now, this is probably going to seem a little strange, but you need to think about it. That flag represents, in some people's minds, the slavery brought on by the Democrats, in essence, who continued to, even after the war and even with the civil rights and everything else, it was the Democrats who were the people who put in the Jim Crow laws and all those things. But if there is a group of slaves that has a claim for consideration on the part of the world, rather than it be the black people who were brought from Africa and the Dominican Republic, haven't the Jews been slaves longer than any other nation in the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
So why are we just singling out this single flag? And they talk about, Geraldo this morning was talking about how this flag was a representation in the same way as the Nazi flag in Germany. And I tried umpteen times to get onto his show this morning because I wanted to say to him, wait a minute, you're trying to tell me that this flag in South Carolina carries the same weight and is as despicable as what Hitler did? Hitler killed 6 million Jews. This country went through the Great Civil War trying to decide what it was going to be. And there were a hell of a lot more white people killed than there were black people. And when the white people decided that they were going to free the slaves in the North and wanted to have abandonment of slavery, we eventually fought a war over it and made the final decision. But the Jews are still persecuted today. The attack on Jews in Europe is the highest I've ever seen.
Oh, in France, all that stuff? Are you kidding? Yeah.
Yes, and so the idea that the black people hold a very special place in history because of the Civil War flag that's in the Charleston or in the state capital's land area, to me, I thought was absolutely ludicrous.
Yep, I agree with you. Absolutely, I agree with you, Dan. Hey, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Dan Perkins, columnist for TheHill.com. Pick it up. He's the author of The Brotherhood of the Red Nile Trilogy. Trilogy is the key there. Dan, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you for having me, Kate. Take care.
All right, Confederate flag, he brought it up. How do you feel? As I said, the South Carolina governor, Nikki Haley, calls for its removal. She says, we're here in a moment of unity in our state with ill will to say it's time to remove the flag from our Capitol grounds, but they got a vote on it. 855-266-5283.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
If you're worried about your health and you're tired of the nasty side effects of harsh drugs or antibiotics, then look no further. Supernatural Silver is the answer. Supernatural Silver is a powerful immune system enhancer that can be used every day to help keep you healthy and well with none of those nasty side effects. It's extremely safe for use internally as well as topically. And Supernatural Silver is hundreds of times more effective than colloidal or ionic silver. It is perfect for use in the sinuses, eyes, ears, and on any wound or skin issue. Supernatural Silver is also extremely effective when taken orally and can help fight off bacteria, viruses, and mold that may be overwhelming your immune system. Go to SupernaturalSilver.com. SupernaturalSilver.com and use the promo code SILVER. Silver 2015 for 30% off of your entire order, and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Walks further down the street to the people way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speech. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this?
All right, how about it, America? We're talking about the Confederate flag. Cornel West says it's time to remove the Confederate flag. The NAACP press, take the Confederate flag down. Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina running for president, says Confederate flag, hey, that's part of who we are. Is it racism, ignorance, or why are we doing this anyway? Is this part and parcel of what happened here? And how did the flag get wrapped into this as sort of a distraction? Is it a thing that is a symbol of hate that rallies people up and has them frothing at the mouth to go and kill people? Is that a slight exaggeration? What's the scoop on that? You heard what Dan Perkins had to say, and he's right. He's not PC. And he wrote a column where he talked about the president in the comments on Thursday was implying that the types of killings were unique to America. You know, and he's saying, did he misspeak or didn't want to acknowledge the massacre in Paris, which, of course, we're talking about Charlie Hebdo, what happened there. Or he says maybe the president also forgot about the shootings in the market in Paris where the Jews were mowed down because they were all Jewish, or the attacks in Canada. I mean, we could go on and on. And he talks about that. We can say that the man, the 21-year-old Dylan Roof, that he brought the gun on, you know, brought it, bought it with his own money. given to him from his dad. He used it in the church, in his own words, to try and start a race war. So in Charleston, they're not going to let their home turn into what we saw in Baltimore. Instead, and I said this the other night, to me this is the most extraordinary thing, and bravo to them, that they're coming together, they're sharing the pain, the loss, all of that, neighbor to neighbor and on and beyond, and they're not race baiting. They're not doing any of that. And it shows you this special people at this Emmanuel African Methodist Episcopal Church that they have been able to do that. But in the meantime, brewing just down the street from them is this conversation about the flag. Now, the flag can only be removed from its location in front of the state legislature with the approval of two-thirds of the legislature. So Nikki Haley, the governor, is saying if the state's General Assembly doesn't convene on this, if they don't do that, that she's going to jump. She'll jump out. She'll call up lawmakers and say this is an extraordinary measure. She can call them to the Capitol for that. And I told you what Lindsey Graham said about it. And Tim Scott. They were both there alongside Haley, by the way, at the announcement. And they didn't talk at the announcement. And during the day, it seemed as though they were endorsing the decision to remove the flag. But Graham said, after the, you know, in a written statement, he said, after the tragic, hate-filled shooting in Charleston, it's only appropriate that we deal once and for all with the flag issue. He said, you know, I've seen the best and the worst of South Carolina. I'm urging that the Confederate flag, now, this is what he was saying. First he was saying no. He said, I'm urging that the Confederate flag be removed from the State House grounds to an appropriate location. So he's saying, I hope that by removing the flag, we can take another step toward healing. So he's saying, just move it to another place. And let's move away from this debate over the flag. So it's really snowballing. It's really, really snowballing. The Confederate flag waving on the grounds of the state capitol. They're saying the symbol has to come down. So this is what people were weighing in on, about removing the flag or not. By the way, President Obama is going to head to the state on Friday. He's going to deliver the eulogy of the at the funeral of the pastor of that very, I mean, an extraordinary pastor. You got to say that. So the president's going to be there to do the eulogy. And also to talk with some of the people and what they've gone through. In the meantime, all these images have been online of the shooter, Dylan Roof, and he's got a Confederate flag and a gun, and he confessed that he carried out the killing, saying he wanted to start a race war. He wanted to have happen what he saw on television in Baltimore, basically. So how about that? It's interesting the way this has turned, and this has been such a huge debate in South Carolina for such a long time, seemingly forever, certainly in the last 15 years. Now it takes yet another turn, and I can't imagine if you have that many people who switched their opinion that you're not going to see, they're not going to move that flag. Cannot imagine that, because it looks like there's a path to it. It certainly does anyway. In the meantime, there are some other things that are shaking across this great land, including the conversation that we were having in a previous show, if you listened to us, about while this is going on in Charleston and so much of our attention is focused there, rightfully so, you still have our two escapees. And it's like the Keystone Cops. I don't blame the cops, though, because they're all over the place trying to find them. And the woods are thick, and I think people don't understand just how brutal it is to try to pull them out of, you know, where they are. And so far, no luck. So far, they've got a little bit of a closer handle on it because they found a DNA in a cabin. So that tells them they're on the right track. Remember, they've got the bloodhounds. They got all the people out there. They've got everybody who could claim they're with law enforcement out searching. They're searching and searching and searching for these two prisoners in this New York prison break. It's wild because one of the places they're searching is Friendship, New York. So in this upstate cabin, this is what I assumed, that they're going to find a flop house, a cabin, or whatever. And so now that's re-energizing that. Inside a burglarized cabin, they were able to get some DNA. And this was a sighting, too, because you had a witness who spotted someone running into the woods near a cabin about 30 miles from the prison. So, wow. Isn't that wild? So they say now it could have been one of them. It might not be both of them. But the DNA evidence is in that area I just described. So it's pretty close. If they jumped over the border in Canada, you could be looking at Quebec, Ottawa, Toronto, depending on which direction they went. But they're nowhere near there. I guarantee they're in one of these rural areas. So they're swooping in helicopters, they're cruising, they're all-terrain vehicling the area. I mean, they are scouring this area for these guys. Every which way but loose. I mean, seriously. And they're so paranoid about it, they don't want to jeopardize the search. They're not giving any details. Every day they have news media and briefings, and they're just not saying anything anymore. No specifics about what they found. Just that it's a confirmed lead, that that's it. The break-in suggests that they needed, when they got away from prison, to get things. They needed some kind of support. And so they're looking into, they're looking into hotel registries, anything they can, just in case somehow they went off the radar and then they jumped back on the radar and nobody knows it now at this point. And they're also concerned that they might be monitoring the radio communications. Because could they have the same device? But with this DNA discovery, there's definitely a shift from one area along the border to one that's closer to the prison. I mean, there's no denying that. But what they're telling people, hey, we can't tell you specifically what we found, but we found a very good confirmed lead. And we will tell you, please be inside with the doors locked and very diligent. So what does very diligent mean? Oh, you're a gun owner and it's legal. Sit on the couch watching True Detective, its debut, with your gun cocked and loaded. Just get ready if you have to take someone out. I mean, it's pretty scary if you think about it, right? It's very scary. And this massive search for them has, of course, set off an investigation into what's going on with the employees. What are they doing? What were they allowed to do, the escapees? They were in a thing called an honor block, so they could cook their own food, which could be bad for other people because maybe they say, well, no more of this honor block nonsense. We're not going to be doing this anymore. I mean, it's crazy insane. And I heard the helicopters, it's like they're shooting a scene from a movie. It's like Apocalypse Now. They're swooping down, in every direction. And state troopers are driving into town, and they're on the trails, and they're, near a winter ski resort, and they're crisscrossing the recreational trails. So they know where they end up. Where are they holed up now? I mean, you know, who knows at this point? They've got so many bulletins out for them. They've got a reward offered, $75,000, for information that leads to their capture. I mean, they've used almost 1,000 law guys. Got a badge? Come on down. I mean, and that's great. That's great that they have that many people that are able to be part of this search, but I know it's driving Cuomo crazy. He has hair, but is he going to have any hair after this is all done? So somewhere along the way, have they found someone to help them? Did anybody intentionally help them, or have they been conned into helping them perhaps in some way? Likely that could have happened. Who knows? All right, remember, you can always email the show, americatonight.net. Stay with us. Kick back. More to come. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Larry Smith. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, like when the jeweler ruined my ring and wouldn't do anything about it. But when my Legal Shield attorney called him and told him what my rights were, I received a check for over $2,100. Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. Again, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state in back taxes, you know they'll never stop coming after you. With bank levies, wage garnishments, they'll even seize your home or business. The good news? A government program for tax debt forgiveness. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative.
I'm Paul Sibley with U.S. Tax Shield. We can help navigate the new laws, get you protected, and resolve your tax issues permanently.
Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield now for your free consultation and get a guaranteed quote to resolve your case. Call 800-436-6451. That's 800-436-6451.
All loans subject to one next court approval must be business at least 1 year to apply.
Attention small business owners needing financing. Are you too busy running your business to deal with the slow lending process of your bank? Are you frustrated at the paperwork and delays just trying to get a decision? Then you need OnDeck, the A-plus Better Business Bureau rated small business experts, where our simple application process takes as little as 10 minutes and funding could be available in just one business day. At OnDeck, we focus on your business operation and cash flow, not just your personal credit score. And we're ready to help with loans of up to $250,000. True business loans, not credit card advances. OnDeck provides financing to a wide variety of small businesses like restaurants, plumbing, landscaping, freight trucking, and healthcare providers. If you're frustrated with the paperwork and long decision times of traditional lenders, contact OnDeck. Funding could be available in just one business day. OnDeck is publicly listed on the New York Stock Exchange and has provided over $2 billion to small businesses like yours. So go to OnDeckLending.com today or call 800-293-6819. That's 800-293-6819.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Another edition of It's Your Business here on America Tonight. This is a big one, too. We've had him on once before. He's terrific, attorney John Snyder. And this time we're talking about things you got to watch out for. In other words, some tips on avoiding investment scams. And there are scams being hatched every day. Some of them not so obvious to a lot of people because we live in an entrepreneurial world. And, of course, when you sometimes you see dollar signs, you hear that something and it sounds as though, wow, five times on the investment or whatever it is, way over the market. You think this is the right thing to hook into because somebody knows how to drive home the points, the salesperson on the other side. John, thanks as always for coming on America Tonight.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So if you are considering diving into your wallet to make an investment in a startup or a company in the early stages, what are some of the things that you need to look out for right away so you don't become a victim?
Well, probably the most important thing is to understand what it is that you're investing in. Understand the business. Understand how they intend to make money, and understand how ultimately you will end up seeing some profit. And the story has to make sense. a lot of people invest and they don't really have a clear understanding what they're investing in. That's a very good way to get into trouble and lose your money.
Yeah, so do a little research. Know exactly what it is. Whatever it is, if it's technology, if it's real estate, doesn't matter, right?
Hey, I'm down in Florida right now doing some diligence on a deal for a client that involves satellite. So, you know, we now have to go learn everything there is to know about this company and about satellites. And, you know, if we leave here and don't understand the investment, you can't invest in it.
Yeah, and sometimes there's a hard press to make something happen right away. When somebody's really pressing you, is that kind of a red flag?
Well, that's the biggest red flag. Listen, you know, they'll come up to you, listen, this is a, you know, great opportunity. You're going to retire on this thing. We're going to be rich. But you have to do it now. The deal's going to vanish tomorrow. Write a check. You know, and that's, if somebody's putting a lot of pressure on you, it's very, very rare that, you know, they want your money today, but they won't take it next week.
Yeah. The other thing is, too, is it, I mean, it's okay and probably you should do it. Why not be able to talk to other investors and make sure they really are investors, right?
Look, and I'm talking about small companies. I'm talking about startups, okay?
Yeah.
You know, not New York Stock Exchange companies. That's a whole different kettle of fish. But when you're talking about a startup, it's all about the people who are involved. It's all about the guy with the vision, and then you got to have the guy with the ability to turn a vision into a strategy, and you have to have a guy who can implement it. And, you know, it's very helpful to talk to other investors because, you know, they've gone through the same thought process you're going through. And what was it about the deal that got them excited? You'll learn a lot.
What are some of the questions? Yeah, and you said some of them right there, but we see this on Shark Tank. What are some of the questions you should ask? How many, if it's product, how many have they sold? What are the margins? Who are the other investors? What are some of the other questions you should ask if we go a little deeper?
You know, I think it's really just understanding in greater detail. You're going to want to know how it is that, how do you make money? How about that? Start with that. How do you make money? What are your plans for the company? How do you intend to exit? Do you want to get acquired, or are you trying to do an IPO? Are you going to just operate the business? You know, what's your plan with the company? And also, you know, another thing I often do, I always do, is I encourage my clients to talk to the company's lawyer. You're going to learn a lot about the company by talking to the lawyer. First of all, you want to know that there is one, because if you get into an investment in a company that doesn't have a lawyer, oh, there's going to be a lot of issues, I guarantee it. You know, if they're trying to do it on the cheap. So, you know, find out if they have a lawyer, and if they do, talk to him, and, you know, is he a respectable lawyer? Has he got a good reputation? That's pretty important.
All right. So, yeah, look for the lawyer, because there would have to be a lawyer attached to a deal, especially if you're executing contracts, or at least you would certainly want one, I would think. For some of us, we hear the stories, and you talk about this, about the fact that you could have been part of Mark Cuban's initial team where they had sweat equity, or Sam Walton, or Bill Gates, or the stories go on, and we certainly have even heard about people who didn't invest. But that's also a way, because they're common stories, that's also a way to get scammed, because they can prey on the fear that you'll miss out, right?
Totally. And those opportunities, while they exist, they're pretty rare. You know, I hope that everybody listening meets a Warren Buffett or a Sam Walton or a Mark Cuban earlier in their career and can make $1 billion. But you know, it's pretty rare for that to happen. And, you know, it's one of those things. Don't tell yourself a story that is unlikely to be true and is going to cause you to lose the ability to think critically about the opportunity.
Yeah, there's a key thing, to think critically, absolutely. And how about
if I could boil it all down,
yeah.
It's just use your brain, ask a lot of questions, and, you know, if somebody is asking you for money to invest in their company, you have the right to ask any question you want, and you have a right to get an answer. And, you know, listen, think clearly, think in details about what is this business really, and make an informed decision. And hire a lawyer.
I agree with you. Hire someone that you really trust, and that way you cover yourself off, I think. And deals are structured different. Obviously, you know this from what you're doing right now and from what you've done in your career. And how, when you go to structure a deal, you know, there is the thing with sweat equity, and then, but that's on the other end, depending on if you're working with them and how much you're, you know, ultimately you're putting in. What happens when the, I mean, is there any kind of a clause? Is there something you would put in there when things go bad that you can bail at a certain time?
If you're investing?
Yeah, if you're investing.
Yeah, sure. What you want to do in that case, that's not an investment, then that's debt. That's basically a loan. So conceivably, you could put it, do a loan, and in the loan document, you could make clear that you have first claim to the assets of the company if it ever goes bankrupt. And, you know, if you're in a real strong bargaining position, you might even be able to get the owners of the company to personally guarantee the debt, which means that if the company goes bust, the lender can simply sue the owners to collect the debt. There's a whole bunch of different things that you can do. You can write it any different way you want. That's the beauty of contracts. Is in America, contracts get enforced. And so you just write your deal and make it very clear what your deal is, and that's the way it goes. But, you know, you really, really should have a lawyer for that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Again, on the contract thing, coming from a family of lawyers, I have a brother who's a lawyer, and he always says, you know, look at the contract. If it's too one-sided, then you don't want to be on that one side, unless you happen to be the person that where it's one-sided. But hopefully, that's not the kind of deal you want anyway. Because, for goodness sake, you know, with all the legalities and everything surrounding a deal, and with the kind of money you may be putting into it, you want it to feel good, right, when you walk away from the table, so to speak.
Well, I'll tell you a story. I had a case one time. I was it was a partnership dispute, and there was a 60% partner and a 40% partner. When they started the company, they were in a great deal of hurry, obviously, as people are. They wanted to get going. So one of the partners took the responsibility of drafting the operating agreement, the partnership agreement, and it was the most one-sided document I've ever seen in my life. Fast forward 4 years, there was a lawsuit between the two partners. The contract was completely on the one partner's side. And you know what? The judge refused to enforce it.
Wow.
Because he said it was unconscionable. It was overreaching. And he just refused to enforce the contract. So the moral of that story is, don't look at contract negotiations as an opportunity to screw the other guy. Look at it as an opportunity to make a fair deal, because if you overreach, that could happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. Make a fair deal. All right, Attorney John Snyder, thanks so much. Great advice. Hope you're all listening out there. Thanks, John.
Thank you so much.
It's very easy to be a criminal. All you need to burglarize a home is one simple household tool, a pair of scissors. If your home security system can be compromised by a criminal using scissors, then you're making it easy for them. Almost every home security system, even those sold by big-name companies, has a weakness: the phone line. You shell out $1,500, get locked into a long-term contract, and think you're safe. But a burglar can destroy your alarm in seconds with one snip. And when a burglar cuts your phone line, you're defenseless. Simply Safe Home Security is the smarter choice. Built by Harvard engineers, Simply Safe uses a wireless connection to call the cops. Scissors can't cut it. And that means your home stays safe. 24/7 professional monitoring is under $15 a month with no contract. Simply Safe Home Security keeps you safer than the other guys for half the cost. Protect your home with the alarm you can trust. Simply Safe. Go to Simply Safe.